You've been there. You vent about a rude coworker, a passive-aggressive family member, or a friend who's crossed a line, and your partner responds with something like, well, maybe they didn't mean it that way, or you might be too sensitive, or you should just let it go. It feels like a betrayal. Instead of having your back, your partner seems to take the other person's side. You walk away feeling dismissed, frustrated, and alone. This isn't a small thing. This is a trust issue. When your partner continually defends others, jumps to fix your feelings, or minimizes your pain, it really undermines the emotional safety in your relationship. And you start to wonder, are you on my side or not? This is more than just annoying behavior. It creates resentment, emotional disconnection, and really erodes trust. So today, we're diving into why this happens, why it hurts so much, and what you can do about it. So stay tuned. Welcome to the Relationships Made Easy podcast, where I give you the exact steps to create connection, joy, and ease in all your relationships, whether it's with your partner, your family, your friends, or most importantly, yourself. I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, psychologist, best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and the bossy Jewish mom you didn't know you needed. Each week, you'll get no-nonsense, research-backed strategies served with humor and love, so you can stop second-guessing yourself and start having the relationships you deserve. You'll always leave knowing exactly what to say and do to shift your relationships for the better. So let's get to it. Welcome back to the podcast. You know who I am. And this is yet again a great idea, a great topic that came from one of you writing in. And then, so I had like two people write in about it over the last couple months. And then it came up in my online community as an issue. So I thought, oh, this is one I think the universe is telling me, do an episode already. So here it is. And how do we start with this? Well, I want to be clear first that validation is not agreement. This whole dynamic really falls apart when people confuse validation with agreement. Validation means saying something like, I understand how you feel. It doesn't mean, or I believe that you're allowed to have your feelings. Sometimes people don't even understand how you feel, right? But it's like, I love you. You have feelings. I'm going to support the fact that you have feelings. That's validation. It doesn't mean I agree with your assessment of what happens or that I agree you should be this upset about what happened. See that? It's different. And that's where people get really confused right off the bat. So when your partner skips over that validation, it sends the message that, you know, your feelings don't matter. Even if that's not their intention, and I think it's obviously often not their intention, but that's the message. So let's talk about why your partner takes other people's side, okay? And obviously your own situation is unique in some ways, but you know, I've been doing this over 35 years, about 40 years, and I can say that there are, what I see, there's about six key reasons most commonly that explain why this happens, okay? And I think, as always, when you understand, you know, seek to understand, right? Go in trying to learn something, not prove something. And when you understand a situation better, you're better able to have compassion, to deal with it in a way that's going to be effective, right? So let's talk about those six ways. I'm sorry, my nose is itchy. Okay, so number one is that your partner is probably uncomfortable. There's some kind of discomfort with quote unquote negative emotions. Now, many people, probably you too, are deeply uncomfortable with emotions in general, but especially the ones they see as negative. And I'm putting that in quotes because there are no negative emotions. Even that idea that there's unhealthy emotions, there's ones that don't fit a situation. But you know, anger, for example, is not an unhealthy emotion. It's in general, it's very healthy. It can be motivating. It's a response. It's if you get into rage, that's not healthy. If you're angry for weeks about something, that's not healthy, right? If you're angry at every teeny tiny little thing that happens because you're so brittle, that's not healthy. You know what I mean? So to put things into negative or positive really gets us into trouble. So I want to say that first, but I'll use that term because I think people relate to it. And as always, I'm going to give you some research all through this, lots of research today. As always, there are going to be links to all the research under the video on YouTube, if you're watching there. What am I going to say? Please like and subscribe. If you are, leave a comment, say hi. And otherwise, it's on the website, right, where you can find the blog. I write a blog for every single episode. And if you ever really love what we're talking about and have maybe a partner who doesn't listen to podcasts or someone that, you know, someone else you love, but you feel like I'd really love it if they heard this, you can send the blog. And that's a great way. Someone can read that and you could say, could you just take 10 minutes and read this and can we talk about it? I mean, that's a very different way to talk to someone and see if you can get their buy-in to talk about a subject. So I always write up a blog for every single episode. It's not a transcript. It's not some unwieldy transcript. It's an actual like article that I write. So yeah, because I love you. Who loves you? Abby loves you. All right. So research shows that men in particular are generally socialized to suppress emotions. I don't think that's a big shock to anyone, but there's real research about this. And it is across different countries. Everyone's, again, a little different. But overall, men are socialized to suppress their emotions and focus on solutions rather than feelings. And that creates a learned discomfort with emotional expression, especially when those emotions seem what they deem as messy or hard to fix. So that, to me, that's the absolute number one way this happens. And I know most of my listeners are female, not all, by far, about 75% of you are female and about 25% are male. So, and I know that most of the women are, you know, thinking this is a male to female part, like women, we're the ones, right? Our partners are the ones who aren't, who are taking other people's side or whatever, but trust me, women do this too. So I do want to be clear that I see this often in ways that might seem sneaky, which again, I'll talk about. Okay. We'll get there. So number two, another reason this might be happening is like a problem-solving reflex instead of emotional support. I tell people a lot in my practice, and I will admit I say this to men mostly. I always say, I want you to see the tiger. Don't try to fix the tiger, right? So, you know, the tiger being something that's coming at us that we're complaining about in our brains when we're upset about something, that's a tiger about to eat us, believe it or not, because our brains are drama queens and kings. So, you know, we need the other person to say that they see the tiger too, not try to fix it, not try to solve it, but just say that they see it. A lot of times people don't want to do that because they're afraid that you're going to get even more emotional. Like if I meet you there, oh my God, it's going to get crazy. The opposite happens. Okay. We calm down. People calm down. It happens every time. But the idea in people's heads, why they're taking the other person's side is that they think that they're going to like add fuel to the fire if they quote unquote agree with you or say, yes, yeah, I understand why you're so mad, that you're going to get even angrier. But the opposite happens. When someone tells us that, we're relieved. We're like, oh, thank God. Again, if I came up to you and was like, oh my God, there's a tiger chasing me. And you said to me, you know, I think you're overreacting and, you know, being really sensitive and maybe the tiger has feelings too. And maybe the tiger's hungry, right? You know, it's the same thing. Instead, if you said, oh my God, there's a tiger. Okay, let's get out. You know, oh my gosh. And was like right there. Then you could say, let's get out of here. Or should we hide? Or then you can problem solve. But you can't problem solve before seeing the tiger, saying that you know there's a tiger. Okay. So there is that problem-solving reflex instead of emotional support. And again, research shows that the brain often defaults to problem-solving when it encounters distress. How's that? That's what the research shows. So, and this pattern is more common for sure in people who have more analytical cognitive styles, right? Which is often linked to something called higher systematizing brain patterns, you know, again, that very sort of when you think about people who are more in their head than their heart, I guess is how we could say that. And that is generally found in women, in men, excuse me, but again, women experience it too. So the problem, of course, is that relationships aren't engineering problems. They're living, breathing experiences. And this is when that gets into trouble. The third reason I see this happening, that your partner might be choosing, you know, taking someone else's side, is this conflict avoidance and anxiety. So for some partners, your upset triggers their own anxiety. And I think that's really common. So instead of sitting with the discomfort, they're trying to neutralize the situation by minimizing your fears or explaining away the issue. And so this is, I say with love, selfish. It's a self-soothing behavior, not a you soothing behavior, right? It is something they're doing for themselves. I've brought this up before. I've run groups, let's say, you know, in my many years as a counselor, I've run a group of people, and someone gets, you know, and things get real and someone starts to cry. And then invariably someone jumps up to go get tissues. There is nothing more selfish than that. I say that with love. I know you don't think that's what, no, I'm doing something nice. No, you're not. You are, and I watch it every time. You are breaking the intimacy of that moment. You're taking yourself out to go fix it because you're uncomfortable watching this person cry. You can say it's for 100 other reasons. You can sit there in denial all you want. And I am telling you with so much love in my heart that it is not a kind thing to do. I watch the person every time. I'm telling you, I watch them like sink and come out of themselves. I watch them come out of the emotion and like, oh yeah, I gotta wipe my nose. It's like, no, you don't. Like, let's just be here now. This is such a deep moment we're having that you're crying. We're here, right? Just staying here. It's uncomfortable for people and they try to fix it. Or somebody makes a joke, or the person themselves makes a joke, right? Oh yeah, I'm blubbering. Sorry. Or they apologize. I have so many people, clients right now who are in session with me who start crying and they're apologizing for crying. Think of that. First of all, you're in therapy. What better place to cry? But like, why are we apologizing? For what? For showing your emotion? But that's how we see this. That's how, because it makes, the reason you apologize is because you know you're making other people uncomfortable. I know you don't, not consciously, none of this is conscious. I want to be really clear. None of this is conscious, but that's what's happening subconsciously. So take note. Number four is poor emotional modeling growing up. So if your partner grew up in a family where emotions were dismissed or even mocked or ignored, they of course never learned how to offer emotional validation. This isn't because they don't care. It's because no one ever taught them how. It's a skill. It is a skill. That's why you can learn it. That's why you can get better at it, which, you know, maybe you've done, or, you know, why your partner can. The fifth reason is a little scarier, or darker reason, I should say, and that is power struggles and control. This one flies under the radar a lot, but I think it's often at play. And I call it out a lot when I'm having couple sessions or even with someone individually when they're talking about an exchange. Again, the research shows that sometimes a partner will invalidate your feelings or take someone else's side as a way to control or assert dominance in the relationship. I know. And that kind of behavior is really rooted in low self-esteem or insecurity of that person. It often comes from, you know, growing up in families where power struggles were modeled instead of, you know, collaboration. So the underlying message, right, for this person is like, oh, I'm the rational one here. You're the irrational one. That sort of dynamic. You're the sensitive one. You're being overly sensitive or to this or to that, right? And that dynamic keeps one partner feeling small and the other feeling superior, again, whether consciously or not. But I see that one come up a lot. And that's a little bit of a darker motive. Again, usually unconsciously, so don't go blaming your partner, but that does happen. And then the last one is kind of something I just alluded to. They think they're being helpful. Many people, they genuinely believe that offering advice, reframing the situation, defending the other person is helpful. They don't realize that it leaves you feeling emotionally abandoned. They think, you know, that you're doing it. And I will say, and I say this a lot, if again, you're a someone in a relationship with a male partner, that often there's that feeling of, again, a lot of times men are socialized that they don't share stuff. They just take care of it. And the only reason they would ever share something that's bothering them or that's a problem is because they haven't been able to fix it on their own. So they are looking for feedback or for something else to help fix it. So that's what they think you're doing. Right? They like, well, isn't that the only reason you're talking to me so that I can help fix it? That kind of thing. So those are the reasons why. And again, there's more. People are complex, but those are the biggies that I see. And obviously more than one reason can be at play. Now, let's talk about why it hurts. There's a neuroscience to feeling unsupported. This isn't just about feelings. This is about your nervous system because humans are biologically wired for connection. Okay. And that's not news to you, I hope, at this point, if you've been listening to me for any amount of time. Our nervous systems regulate best when we feel safe, when we feel seen and connected to others. And that's called co-regulation. I've talked about co-regulation before on the podcast. The easiest way to talk about co-regulation is if I have a baby crying and I'm a new parent and I'm holding a baby who's crying, what you want to do, of course, is not get hysterical with the baby. Like, why are you crying? Oh my God, this is horrible, right? If you were doing that, the baby would cry more. Yes. I mean, that's not even hard to, you know, we co-regulate. So what we want is for the parent or the guardian, whoever's with that baby to be, it's okay. Ooh, okay. I'm here with you. Soothing, right? Soothing. And then eventually, hopefully the baby will co-regulate to that soothing energy. That's sort of what happens. So when someone validates us, when someone validates us, like our partner, our nervous system shifts from fight or flight to safety and calm. Okay, I know. That's why it feels so good. So when your partner invalidates your feelings, whether again, that's by jumping in to give advice, defending the other person, or minimizing your feelings, it sends a signal to your nervous system that you're not safe, that you're not connected. So your brain interprets that as a threat. And then your body releases stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline. Your heart rate increases. Blood flows away from parts of the brain that are responsible for higher reasoning and goes towards all those survival responses. Again, fight, flight, or freeze kind of stuff. I know. That's why it feels so awful. That's why it feels so bad. You're not just being sensitive. You're responding to a real biological signal that your emotional safety has been compromised. Yeah. I'm just going to let that sink in for a minute. That's a little bit of a mic drop moment, isn't it? You know, I'm never dropping my mic because they're expensive, but you know what I'm talking about. So, okay. So I want to say that this is all really about trust. Okay. If you're anything like me, you're bad at asking for help, like weirdly bad at it. I've been a busy gal for a long time now. Kids, partner, my own business, all the things that make for a full life these days. And my instinct always was to just white knuckle it and do it all myself. But I say it on this show all the time. Ask for help. You don't have to do it all. And meanwhile, there I was doing it all. And I finally changed all that from my podcast editor to the person who got 10 years of photos off my phone and into albums I actually look at. I found amazing people to help me on Upwork, and I've been using them for the last 8 years. And you don't need a business for any of this, any project, any size, planning an event, sorting out something at home, finally handling the thing on your list you keep avoiding. Upwork lets you find, hire, and pay expert freelancers all in one place.
With Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, and with AI-powered shortlisting, you'll get matched to the right freelancer in under 6 hours. No endless searching required. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help you and your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Most people think about trust in relationships as a simple yes or no, as black and white. You either trust someone or you don't. But if you've been listening to me for any period of time, you know that that's not how trust works. I've talked quite a bit about something I call the trust triad in previous episodes. I'm just going to do a really quick recap right here. I will link to all those episodes in the show notes and in the blog and under the video, because you really want to go back and listen with more time if you haven't already heard this from me. But I'm going to remind you that the trust triad, there's like three pillars, three pieces to trust. Integrity is one. Is my partner honest? Do they tell the truth, right? Just that, telling the truth. Obviously, being evasive or omitting things is also not telling the truth. And I did an entire episode on that recently, when your partner is lying or being evasive, blah, blah, blah. Or maybe it's when someone is, not just your partner. But anyway, so integrity is one. The second pillar of the triad is competence. Does my partner, does this person do what they say they'll do? Can I rely on them? If they say they're going to be at dinner at 5 o'clock and meet me at the restaurant, you tell how old I am, 5 o'clock. People are like, 5 o'clock at a restaurant? That's so, what are you talking about, Abby? Yeah, okay, 5 o'clock, all right? Early bird specials, thank you. No, I'm not quite there. I'm close. I really have been that person down in Florida with my parents eating dinner at 4:30. Like, that stuff's true. But anyway, but competence is that second piece. So integrity, can I trust them? Like, as far as them telling the truth, competence, can I rely on them? Do they follow through? Do they do what they say they're going to do? And then the third is goodwill. Does my partner have my back? Do I feel like they're emotionally invested in my well-being? And when your partner repeatedly takes other people's side, that goodwill pillar of trust, that it's starting to crack. Okay. So yeah, you might still trust that they're not going to like cheat on you or something or steal money from the account, but you might trust them to handle finances or take care of the house or whatever, but you stop trusting them to be emotionally safe. You stop trusting that they're on your team. And that's the real relationship injury, because when trust goes, when the goodwill pillar breaks, we start to get a disconnection, emotional intimacy goes in the garbage, vulnerability goes away, all the things you need. You start thinking, you know, why should I share how I feel if it's just going to get dismissed somewhere, even if that's subconsciously? Or you start thinking, oh, I just have to handle everything alone. I can't count on this person. I can't count on you when it really matters. That's really, really a problem. And resentment starts to grow. Disconnection is blossoming everywhere. And, you know, if you leave this unchecked, the relationship becomes really a hollow shell of what it once was. So I get that you might be thinking, oh, I can just let this go, but you really can't. This is a huge one. It's why I'm doing an entire episode on this. It really does matter. It's not a small thing. So, and I want to talk about some more common signs of this happening in your relationship. Okay. Because so that we're really clear on what we're talking about here. So again, like, you feel like your partner doesn't have your back. You walk away from conversations feeling worse, not better. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You stop sharing vulnerable feelings, right? You stop sharing them because it feels pointless. You start turning to other people for emotional support. That's another sign. Your resentment is growing faster than your connection, or has outpaced your feelings of connection in some way. Okay. So any of that, if any of that is happening, then you want to keep listening to, what to do about it. Okay. Let's talk about what to do about it. I have a 5-step framework. You know, I always like to put things into some sort of frame for you, some kind of step-by-step. So you know what to do next. Like, what can I do? All right. This is the problem, Abby. Thank you for pointing it out more. What do I do about it? All right. So step one for this is definitely to name the pattern out loud. You're going to need to say something without blame. You know, as I always say, like when you're giving feedback, get in a good place mentally when you share this, but you have to say something. But you're sharing the facts. The fact is not that your partner's an asshole or a jerk. Okay. That's not the fact. Okay. The fact is that you don't feel supported here. So you could say something like, oh, and I have the free download for today are 5 scripts to get the, I'm reading because I wrote it down, 5 scripts to get the emotional support you need without a fight. Okay. That is the free download for today. So I'm going to share some here with the framework, but if you want that, you can download that again below the video, go over to the website, all the places where you can download things. But a lot of times people say to me, I just don't know what to say. So here are 5 scripts to get the emotional support you need without a fight. You can download that for free. As I always mention, because I am transparent, that will put you on my Love Bites list, which is a twice a month email from me. That's just a love letter. I call it a little love bite. That's all it is. Nothing more. I'm not selling anything. I'm just trying to motivate you. I tell a little story. I give some information. People love this love letter, I need to say. And you know why I know they love it? Because they open it. There's something that we who send things out call an open rate. It means the rate of people who open something. You know, like when you get some email from some, you know, that you're subscribed to, how often do you open it? And a really, really good rate of someone opening your email is somewhere between 20 and 30%. That's like amazing, like incredible. My love letter is 60%. It's, which is an unheard of number. And it's because I'm not selling you. It's genuine. I'm just trying to give you some love, some emotional support. And if you love it so much, you can pay to get it every week, which is $19.99 for the year. And you get my free 5 to Thrive thing. It's such a good deal, but you don't have to, I'm not going to bug you about it. You're not going to get 50 emails asking you to, you know, pay you. Right? It's just that. So, and that, by the way, has like an 85% open rate. Like, I'm just saying, it's a good thing that I'm sticking you there. But either way, you could also unsubscribe and I won't know because there's many thousands of people on there and it'll be fine. So anyway, for this, you're going to say it out loud. You might say something like, when I share something that upset me and you started explaining the other person's side or telling me what to do, I felt alone. It feels like you're not on my team. Or another thing you can say is, while I appreciate that you're trying to help, that just doesn't work for me. And I end up feeling angry with you, which of course I don't want to feel. Right? Do you see that? I know. Okay. Step two is you want to teach the difference between validation and agreement. And this is a big piece. I started the whole episode this way. Your partner is likely feeling that they don't agree that you should be upset, or maybe they don't even agree that the other person is in the wrong at all when, you know, with whatever you're describing. So you can say something like, saying, I can see how upset you are, or it's hard to see you so upset isn't the same as saying you agree with everything I'm saying. It just tells me you care about how I feel, right? Do you see that? Like letting the person know, I say with love for all the men listening, because I love you men. I love men. I will say with love that men especially need to hear this. They because that's what I hear. I have a lot of men in my private practice, so I know because you guys are telling me. You'll say to me, but what she's saying is so crazy, or you know, she's talking about this thing and I think she's wrong. And I'm like, that's fine, but you love this person. And they feel this way. So, you know, again, see the tiger, don't fix the tiger. And if you see the tiger, you're going to be amazed that then people are more open to problem solving. It happens every time. So I call it also say yes first. So it's kind of like you're saying yes first, and then you can problem solve, right? You can do something on the other side. Okay. Step three is to be crystal clear about what you need. Now, you want to be very clear about what you're looking for. So again, that's why the scripts are so important. And that's why I wrote those up separately for you. But again, I'm giving you some here too. You don't even have to download anything. So you could say something like, I need you to just listen and help me feel seen before we try to figure out any solutions. Or, are you in a space where you can just hear me right now? These are really good things to say. And my truly favorite way to deal with these situations, if it works, if it in the situation you're in, is to preempt an unwanted response by setting the conversation up for success. So what I say with my fabulous Gary is, I want to talk about something with you that happened at work today, but I'm only looking for comfort, not solutions right now. Comfort or solutions. It's a great, great thing. And sometimes I forget to say it, but I've trained Gary so well. I say that with love. If you know, I'm just kidding. Don't jump on me. Don't get upset. I'll even start to say something and he'll stop me and go, are you looking for comfort or solutions? And it's so great. And it makes it so easy. I didn't come up with that, by the way. That's been around forever, but I use it because it's really helpful. Are you looking for comfort or solutions? What can I do for you here right now? Okay. So right there. Now, sometimes you're already in something, but I've stopped a conversation where I was already in it and getting feedback and just said, you know what? Can we just stop for a minute? I'm realizing you're giving me lots of suggestions. I want to stop. I'm only looking for comfort. I just want your comfort. I love you. You're my person. You're who I come to when I'm in pain. And I need a hug. I need a verbal hug, a physical hug. I need to, you know, just have you there with me listening. That's all. You're not fixing this. Just again, see the tiger, don't fix the tiger. Step four is inviting a new way to respond, right? That's the next thing you're going to do, is you're going to invite a new way for them to respond. Now that you've shared what doesn't work for you and what you do need, now you want to offer a new script or a structure that they can try if they're open to it. And I want to be clear, this isn't about controlling their behavior. It's about inviting collaboration. And you need to have that mindset. Okay. You need to have that mindset. So you might say, would it help if I gave you an example of what kind of support I'm looking for in moments like this? Because I'll tell you, I hear you guys sometimes, you'll say like, well, if I have to say it, then it doesn't count. Yet, no, that get rid of that. You are trying to get someone to prove their love for you. Don't test your partner. Don't test people. That is not loving. That is your old childhood wounds coming into your current adult relationship. Testing someone is a lot of crap. So stop it. That's fear-based. And remember, what do I always say? Fear has no place in a love relationship. So don't even get me started. You could also say something like, I don't need you to say these exact words, but something like, that sounds so frustrating. I'm really sorry you had to deal with that, would go a long way with me, right? You can say, hey, when I'm venting, something like, ugh, that sucks. Do you want to talk about it more or just hang out and forget it for now? Would help me feel like we're in this together. Do you see all these? Even just saying, you can tell them, even just saying, I'm here, keep going. I'm here, keep going. What else? What else happened? Tell me more about that. Makes me feel supported without needing a fix-it response. Do you see all that? Like giving people, because they really have no clue, right? And each of those examples really keeps the energy on connection over correction, right? That's where the energy is, on connecting over correcting, which is the whole friggin' point, right? This is a co-creation moment. It's not a command. You are co-creating the relationship together. It's not a command. You're helping them succeed at being there for you by showing them what that actually looks like. Again, don't test people. Don't see if they do it right. Don't get in your head, well, if I have to ask and it doesn't, I'm sorry you have ever felt that. It is so off. It is so not true. It is so nice to be told, don't you? I mean, I love it when someone tells me what they need or what they're looking for, what they want, because I know I can hit the target. It's so great. It's great in sex too, by the way. It is. It's great in sex. Tell them what you want. Tell them exactly what you're looking for. Right there. Stop that. Do more of this. Yes, please. Whatever. I mean, it works in sex. It works in every kind of communication is wonderful. When you tell someone, it's vulnerable to tell someone about your need. You're afraid to say it because you're afraid of what'll come back. Now, I know some of you right now are going, I have said it, and then they still don't do it. You got to make sure that you're not just into correcting them. So even there, you might stop yourself. Like, did you say it in anger? Did you say it in frustration? Did you say it with resentment? Are you feeling resentful now? None of that is from love. It's all from fear. And people react in fear when you give them fear. So you want to stop the conversation. You would ask questions there. Like, hey, again, get in a good headspace for this. Hey, is this a good time to ask something? I have something I want to talk about that, argument we had the other night. And they'll say yes or no. And you'll say, I'm really curious. I mean this. I'm trying to understand. I love you. I want to connect with you. And I'm trying to figure out, I felt like I told you what I needed the other day. Like, I just wanted you to, only like give me comfort, not solutions, something like that. And I still felt like you were struggling with that, or that we weren't connecting on that level. What did you hear? What did you feel like it went well? Did you ask questions? Try to learn something, not prove something. Listen like you're wrong. You know, try to understand where the breakdown is, right? There's a breakdown. Trust me, this person, unless you are with just a full-blown crazy person, okay, like huge personality disorders or something else, right? And that's only about, 2% of the population, up to 5% of the population. So it's likely you're not with that person. It's more likely that this person does want to connect, but doesn't know how, even though you've said it. I get that you've said it, but it doesn't mean they understood it. Guess what? When I was 10, someone could say something to me about physics and I wasn't understanding it just because they said it and I nodded my head didn't mean I got it. Maybe I thought I did in the moment, but I didn't. Maybe I thought I was, had more capacity than I did. It doesn't mean that they get it. And obviously they don't get it if it's not working in action. So stop, ask questions, learn. I know I just yelled at you. I'm sorry. Okay. I didn't yell, but you know what I mean. I get frustrated though. I understand it gets scary because you've asked and then you feel you've made yourself vulnerable and you ask and then you don't get what you need and then you feel like betrayed somehow. But that is not, they're trying. They need more help in the try. And just because they say they got it doesn't mean they got it. Okay. Step 5 is then to check for the power struggles. Now you got to check for any power struggles. Remember all those reasons I mentioned earlier about why your partner might not be supporting you, right? This was one of them. So you now might ask yourself, like really sit afterwards, is my partner trying to be right more than they're trying to connect? Is that the feeling I get if I really step back, or am I getting the feeling that they're just really lost and frustrated in this because they've just never learned this before? Okay. So really think about it. Ask yourself, do they downplay my feelings to feel more in control? Is that what I'm getting here? If the answer is yes, again, that could be a deeper dynamic that needs to be addressed. Maybe more open conversations. You likely need to set much stronger boundaries then. Okay. Maybe get one of my books, Boundaries Made Easy, the workbook, Boundaries Made Easier. Right? Seriously, I mean that. Or I have a lot of free things on the website about boundaries. Maybe do that. But usually the answer is you having stronger boundaries, but either way, or possibly couples therapy at that point. Okay. Or you doing individual therapy to decide if this is the kind of relationship you want to be in. All right. So let me wrap it up by saying, this isn't about being dramatic or needy. This is about your basic human need for emotional safety. When your partner, or anyone really, doesn't validate your feelings and constantly sides with other people, it hurts because, again, it breaks the trust. You stop believing that they have your back. Okay. And now the good news, of course, is that it's fixable. Most people simply don't understand how important validation is or how to give it. It's a skill. They don't know how to give it. But with the, I've seen it, you know, with the right tools, with open conversations, you can absolutely shift this pattern and rebuild, you know, not just connection, but really rebuild trust. So I want to talk about my Therapy to Go bundle in a minute. And if you're done, you're done. I want to remind you to download the 5 scripts to get the emotional support you need without a fight. And all the look below the video, go to my website, all the places it'll be, you know, wherever this episode is. And then I always have a Therapy to Go bundle. So it's like Therapy to Go, a little bundle. Again, you can join my One Love Collective, which by the time you're listening to this is on Substack. Just look up Abby Metcalf and I'll have all the links to Substack everywhere. If you want to join the One Love Collective, you can. You'll get everything I'm mentioning, plus, you know, early drops of the podcast, episodes without ads. You'll get a live Q&A with me twice a month. You'll get all kinds of other things. But if you don't want to do that, it's $10 for the Therapy to Go bundle. It's $8 a month to join the One Love Collective. And then you get these bundles with every single episode, like therapy for every episode. It's what I'm trying to do. So in the bundle, if you're trying to decide if you'd like to download that or if you want to even join the One Love Collective, the bundle for this episode is I have a building connection instead of power struggles. It's like a self-assessment checklist. Again, this is in addition, obviously, to the free download. Conversation starters for rebuilding goodwill and emotional safety. So these are different than those emotional safety scripts that are free. The emotional support quick reference guide. You're also getting journaling prompts. You're getting power struggle patterns. It's another kind of self-assessment checklist looking at power struggle patterns. There's a reflection worksheet, how to ask for what you need without getting defensive or starting a fight. There are repair scripts. These are what to say when you're the one who messed up, okay? And last, there's a trust triad inventory to kind of figure out where's the crack maybe in the trust triad for you and your relationship, okay? All that is $10 if you just want to buy it yourself, and you can. You don't have to join. Or if you'd like to join our community online, which is really fabulous, the One Love Collective on Substack, you can do that and you'd get it all for free for $8 a month. You'd get that plus, again, everything else I have in all the other episodes. And that's it for this week. Wow. Hopefully this was really helpful. Thank you, as always, for giving me such great ideas. There is never a lack for great ideas for this podcast because you all are so wonderfully communicative. Let me know what you're looking for. Let me know what is hurting. And so I can help you with, again, evidence-based approaches that work for my clients, that work for me in my own life, that work for sort of the preponderance of people, which is why it works for me and for my clients, because I'm always pulling from the research for the most effective tools. Okay, that is it. I hope you got a lot out of today. Thank you for being here with me. It always means so much. This is, really my favorite part of the week is doing the podcast with you. All right. I love you. Have an amazing week and I'll see you soon. Thank you for spending time with me today. If you're loving what you're learning here, come join my One Love Collective. It's my private community where we take these conversations even deeper. You'll get a ton of bonus content, live Q&As with me, guided visualizations, journaling prompts, scripts, and an incredible community of like-minded people ready to support you as you create more ease and joy in all your relationships. It's all waiting for you at abbymetcalf.com or right on Substack. I'll see you next week.